turn me on yet or have. And we've had a good time together. Those of you who've been here from the beginning and those of you who joined late, we've still had a great time together. There's always more to learn. There'll never come a time where we'll say, I know it all or I know enough. We should always be lifelong learners. And even when I lead a, quote, successful Sabbath school class, invariably, as soon as I get home, I think about, I should have said this differently. Next time I'll do this or next time I'll do that. So don't feel like if you critique yourself, that's just normal. We should always be trying to grow. I wish I could remember the quote that Ellen White uses, that one of our goals should be to be better at the mission we're given in life. We should always be trying to grow. So I applaud you all for coming out for this. At the conclusion, you'll see my contact information. If you want to ask me questions or you need information, just simply call me or email me. I'm always available. I told you, as my schedule allows, I write a weekly article on ssnet.org. You can always go there, and I always have a list of questions that a lot of classes are using all over in Sabbath school. And one guy, he's really ingenious. I like the way he did it. He cuts them all up in like strips of paper and gives one to each person in his class. So he'll say, okay, Jane, what question do you have? And Jane will read the question. That helps him get some motivation going. So before we do this, I think we should maybe recap. Let me just test you. I learned a lot yesterday and one thing that I will take with me forever, I should not say, I'll see you on tomorrow. We have an editor in the room, and she says, that's not proper. So. See you tomorrow, but not on tomorrow.
On tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. See, this is why I didn't want you to take that, because that's we're off the topic already. Okay, but I learned a lot. So let's do a recap. I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to do something differently. Let's do a recap. Let's see how well. Oh, that's the same thing. Let's see how well you guys have done. All right. So we covered two things in the class for those of you who are just joining us today. We spent time talking about the programs we offer and about how to facilitate a class so that it is engaging. And let me move this out of the way. And as all of you should know, the audio recordings of each session are on the Carolina website and on the app. And on that app, they are also asked for a, what is it called? Review, what is that called? Your
survey.
Yes, so, you know, say what you want to say, but put your honest remarks there about what you thought about the workshop. So here's some of the things we talked about. We started with who was here the first day? Do you remember the very first question I asked before we got here? I asked what our opinion of something was. Do you remember what it was?
Who is Sabbath school for?
I hope I spelled that right. I asked you when we thought about a successful Sabbath school, what did that mean? Okay? And we talked about a lot of good things. So now that we've had this time, I still want to know, how would you define a Sabbath school class program? What would determine it to be successful for you? What would it have to have?
Growth.
Who said that? Oh, yes, growth. Growth for who?
Both internal and people-wise. I mean, a class that only keeps the same people.
Spiritual
growth. Okay, so attendance growth.
And internal growth.
Oh, spiritual growth.
Both.
Okay, and I can't really help people grow spiritually if I myself am not growing spiritually, right? I can't give what I don't have myself. I can talk a lot of Adventist jargon, to get through 40 minutes, but that's not necessarily growth. All right, what else are some of the elements that we say a successful Sabbath school would entail? Yes.
Engaging.
So if it's not engaging, you really couldn't say it's a successful class, right?
If the teacher doesn't talk about productive skills and receptive skills, listening is a receptive skill. You could be talking about how to write a great essay, but unless the students are actually writing, unless the students are producing, they'll never learn how to write.
Hmm.
So when the members of the class are producing, they're learning.
Okay. Not just passively taking it all in. I mentioned earlier that every class should have a mission project. And if you are a teacher here, your class should have a mission project. Cradle roll, kindergarten, earlier. Even if you have two children in your class, have a project, right? Anything else? Yes.
It should be Christ-centered first.
Oh, I like that. Christ-centered. And what's that text that says, if I be lifted up, I'll do what? All right. That's you can't say it any plainer than that. Anybody else? So, for you, a successful Sabbath school class is one that gives people hope. Mm-hmm. I like that. No negativity zone. We talked about that yesterday.
Inspiring.
It should be inspiring, yes. Our job is not to just inform people of stuff. And that's not what Jesus did. He inspired people. That's why we serve him, right? We were inspired, hopefully, at one point of our Christian experience. Was your hand up, Henry?
Yes.
Bonding
between the members.
Yes. Bonding. But I want to put one down that I think is essential. I won't even write it down. That many people felt at certain times Jesus' ministry was a failure. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
There was one time where after he finished talking, a whole lot of people left. And he even asked his disciples, are you going to leave too? In there, so hopefully it's back. Okay, all right, so hopefully you heard the last point. Okay, all right, good. So, Bible-based. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Yes, sir.
I think it's when people start asking questions about what you're teaching.
That's a sign of success. All we do is repeat what we already know. They're not going to come. It'll just be us old people there. Right now, it's senior citizen hour. And sooner or later, they're going to say, well, listen, no one's coming. Let's just cancel it. We'll do something else. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. All right. We talked about who we're trying to attract. One of the key elements, who are we trying to attract? You were the one who said it first. 21-35 youth. We need younger people. And if I am a leader of a church, whether small or large, one of the keys to doing that is making sure my children's classes are as good as I can make them. Don't spare any expense, because the parents of that age group are the people we need in our classes.
When parents are church, quote, shopping, that's what they're looking for.
Absolutely.
If they have children, they're looking for stellar classes for their children.
That's right. You can't get around that. And unfortunately, as I mentioned before, I've gone to too many churches where the children's classrooms are just, they're an afterthought. It's like, we just, well, let's just stick them here. Just, you know, this will work. We'll store the banquet tables here, but we put the kids here in this corner here also. If we only had $100, give it to the children's classes, right? How should we attract them? What was my secret genius explanation of how we should attract people? Be nice. Just be nice. Don't worry so much about trying to get people informed about the doctrines of the church. It's the love of Christ that's going to draw people. And the more I can emanate that love, the better chances are I will attract people to come. There's some people that there's a, in my church, there is an older lady. Her name is Sister Mance. She's one of my older teachers. Standing room only in her class. There's another class next to hers. I won't mention the teacher's name. Good person. A little different way of approach. They might have one person, two people. Hers is standing room only. You know what makes a difference? She's so nice. And she's personable. And they want to be in her class. Yes?
Well, that's kind of the question. I mean, we're talking about growing Sabbath school. And I guess if you decide for a Sabbath school class to be small and intimate, which some people like,
yes,
because that's where you really have the bonding.
Yes.
That's where you can really, it's more like a weekly check-in for folks.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you grow past where you're not having that, to where it's something, it's more like a sanctuary class where you can just slip in and get lost in the crowd?
Yeah, that's a good question. That many of us wish we had that problem. I don't know the answer to that. Most teachers, if their class is growing, they don't want to see those people leave and start another class. So how that happens, I don't have a good
idea. Jesus Sabbath school class on the mountain. 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
Ooh. So what are you saying?
I'm saying each one of them felt they needed to be there.
Oh, I see.
Each one of them felt they were loved, they were accepted.
Yes.
They were learning something.
Yes.
The size is not as important as
the quality of what's happening.
I disagree.
I disagree too.
If you've got people in, if you got a 15 member class,
yes,
15 people are contributing to the discussion.
Yeah.
You put people in a 50 member class, some of those 15 members are going not talk.
I feel more comfortable. Yes. And I understand his point, but let's just make sure that, like, there's books written on this subject. There's tons of books written on small groups, things like that, the ideal size and how many it takes for people not to feel intimidated if they're a visitor and all. There's all kind of stuff on that. But I will say for our purposes that if I have a small group that is not doing anything but sitting together on Sabbath,
amen,
then it really doesn't make a difference if it's 15 or 50. It's just the 15 have more chance to talk.
That's important.
It is important, but if I have 15 people, chances are I will get more done than if I have a crowd of 50 or 500, because we're 15, we probably know each other, we fellowship throughout the week. So it is better. It has its perks for sure. So we won't beat the point too much, but yes.
I teach a class at Myrtle Beach.
Yes.
When it comes to class time, there's 10 to 15 people there.
Yes.
Before it's over, there's 50 to 75 people there.
Yes.
And on an average, at least 50% of them are participating every Sabbath.
Yeah. Why?
Why would 25 to 50 of them participate in a large group like that?
Can you tell me why? You know his class?
No, I don't know his class.
Oh, okay.
He referred to Christ.
Okay.
The teacher makes a difference.
Yes. Yes.
And the style of the teacher.
It does. But we don't. But his point is valid, and we won't spend too much more time on this.
I think both class sizes are important. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. But
you have to do what works best for your church, yeah. Right? Like at my church, we don't have individual classrooms, so we'll start out with 75 or 100 people, and we'll end up with 600 people.
Right.
There are disadvantages to that. There are. I mean, you can't deny, because there are a lot of people that would just. They'll never become really engaged. They're just passively sitting there, hiding in the crowd. But it is what it is. Let's just do the best with what we have. That's I want to make sure. Let's be intentional to do the best we can with whatever we have. Yes?
I understand that Jesus didn't look at his notes. He looked at his audience's eyes, and he could tell if they were accepting it or rejecting it. And so it was very interactive between him and certain people, at least in the congregation.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, Ellen White talks about how he watched them.
Oh yes.
He could tell if they were accepting his message. Or,
oh yes. I heard that part before, but I didn't hear the part that he never looked at his notes. That was a nice twist on it. I know you just threw that in for him.
Instead of looking at his notes, yes. He was looking at his audience, looking at their eyes.
And when we did the exercise, and we talked about the characteristics of a good teacher. Those are some of the things we talked about, right? A good listener, not only hearing what's being said, but the things that are not being said. That as I'm scanning my class, all right? This is our longest quote I think we had. And it speaks for itself. We can't get so tied to how we've always done things that we are afraid or reluctant to try things new. We should never get to that point. We should always be saying, well, let's see if we can do it better. And I mentioned a story when Jesus taught from a boat, as far as I know, that had never been done before. I don't see any other record. But he adapted to the needs of his audience, and we should do the same thing. The process for change, the three things we taught, this is just review. For change, I must know what? I must know where I am. I must know
where I
want to go. And I must have I got to have a plan. And we did a big exercise that gives us some ideas of how we can look at things differently. We struggled with some of it. We got some of it done. But I must know where I am. I must know where I want to be. And I must have a plan. All right. Is it worth anyone's time to come to your program? The days are long gone when we can just beg people to come to Sabbath school. It doesn't work anymore. Only our generation and older will sit every week in the same boring class. We'll do it. We don't care how bad it is. Some of us, we don't have anything else to do. We've been locked up in the house all week, and we are happy to sit in that class. But my daughter, who's 30, and your daughter, and your son, and your grandchildren, they're not coming. And we can't just say they're not spiritual, because I see on Facebook, they love spiritual things. But it's got to be worth their time. And if they don't see value in it, we can shame them all we want. They're not coming. Hit the values. Oh, this I told you, if you forget everything else, you had to remember these two things. What are the two things I want people to leave feeling? I know he knows because he said one earlier. What are the two things? They must leave what? Both inspired and encouraged, not just informed. I want to inspire people. We can reach a higher level in our Christian experience. And I want to encourage people to deal with whatever it is they're facing in life. And as you said earlier, hope. If I teach Sabbath school right, I should be giving people hope for life. When people walk outside of our church doors, they are just met with all kinds of drama and negativity. They shouldn't have to experience that when they come to Sabbath school. I'm not going to come to Sabbath school for another debate. Every time I turn on the news, there's a debate. I don't want to come to Sabbath school for that. I'll come back if you inspire me. I'll come back if you encourage me. I'll come back if you make me feel valued and appreciated. I'll say, man, I'll come back. But if all I'm doing is sitting there while you tell me stuff, I'm not coming back. All right? Your guys are doing good. Sabbath school is a no negativity zone. Who should not be negative?
Teacher.
Teacher and who? One more. Who? No, no.
Superintendent.
Don't start Sabbath school criticizing people for being late. They know they're late.
But we have a member that will always
don't let them do it. Don't just try to stop them. You just thank people for coming. Start on time. If Sabbath school starts at 9:30 and there's one person there, start at 9:30. Right? No one likes, I understand, we don't want to give all our thunder out too early, but go ahead and start, all right? No negativity zone. Satan's work is to discourage the soul. Don't let that become our work. When you're putting your materials together, why not, according to the book of James, which is my favorite quote, that if any of you lack wisdom to do what? Yeah, so why not say, listen, I need to teach this week. Give me the wisdom to craft my discussion in a way that is inspiring to people. Why not ask them that? Because I sure ask when I can't pay the light bill, my prayers are clear. I need help paying the light bill. Why not have the same emphasis on help me to teach this class? I don't have the wisdom to do it, okay? All right. We did a public program. We had a winner here that stood for what? Who was our winner? It was on that side. It was between you.
It was the lady.
All right, what did this stand for? What was the first one? Oh, boy. Are you willing to pay the cost?
Survival
or I must give a clear path forward. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. There'll be some periods that are uncomfortable. Do I just want to survive and have my Sabbath school say, well, we made it through another week? Or do I want to have success in Sabbath school? Do I want to see? My dream is for Sabbath school to come back to where it was before, where it was the lifeblood of the church. Now, when people say that, I don't really make much. People say it. But if Sabbath school currently is the lifeblood of the church is in intensive care.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because most Sabbath schools are, if they're not dead, they're almost dead, right? Yes.
I just want to give you an illustration of that.
Yes.
We were having a lesson concerning if someone strike you, Jesus said someone strike you. And
yeah.
And the sister said someone on her job called her a witch. Just out of nowhere, just call her a witch and made her feel real bad.
Uh-huh.
But she gained something out of that class to help her way through that.
Really?
Next week.
That's wonderful.
I mean, and
that's wonderful.
That is something that we really ought to be wanting.
Absolutely.
Way through the foolishness they have to deal with once they go back.
And that's what I was saying. What we should do should be inspiring and encouraging. Help people deal with the issues of life. Christianity should provide the solutions for the issues of life. It should provide that. Okay, y'all are doing good. Be the director, not the star. I was talking about who? Superintendent, that you're not who? You're not Tom Cruise, right? You're Steven Spielberg. You're making sure things are going. And I understand some churches are very small. You have to do everything. But if it's possible, try to let other people do things, if at all possible. Okay? That was pretty easy. We didn't get to that exercise. Are you what you teach? Can't ask people to do what I'm not willing to do myself. And after a full year of teaching, I believe the teachers must be the sweetest people in the church. You have to be. The nicest person in the church should be the Sabbath school teacher. Of course, the preacher also, but we're just doing a workshop for Sabbath school teachers. Because if it's not working for me, I really should just resign and say, listen, I'm really not ever going to be a nice person. Do you mind if I just sit this time out so I can just stay the way I am? Okay? Your role is to aid people in spiritual growth. We talked about the Bible. I challenge my teachers here on Sabbath to leave your quarterly in the car. Some of you already leave it in the car. And who told the example of they you locked it in the car by mistake, right?
And the keys.
But you still taught Sabbath school.
I prayed. It's the Holy Spirit to guide me.
How did it work out?
We had fun.
Amen. I love that testimony. I'm going to repeat that often. All right? Because visitors, even if I don't have visitors, I'm praying for visitors. Let's see here. Lesson studies, a Bible-based group discussion. There's no shortcut. You got to put in the time. Are you willing to pay the cost? We did that together. The top skill of a teacher is the ability to do what?
Ask
great questions. That is what we have to sharpen. And we spent some good time talking about yesterday about asking questions when no one responds. And the worst thing for a teacher to hear is the sound of crickets. They're not saying. It's only been 3 seconds, but if they don't say anything by 5 seconds, I'll answer my own question. And we have to avoid that. And if you ever need help, I sincerely mean this. If you're teaching and you say, listen, I'm just having a mental block. I'm not really sure if these are good questions. Just call me up. Send me an email. We could talk about it together. I'll share my questions and you'll share yours and we'll together come up with some good questions for Sabbath school.
And what's your phone number?
It's going to show up in just a second. I'm serious. I am absolutely serious. I have a lady every now and then, we've gone to England 3 times to do sessions over there, camping, things like that. And I have a lady who contacts me from London. It doesn't matter to me. You know, we're all in this thing together, okay? We talked about being prepared, find a theme that instead of teaching Sabbath school, Sunday's lesson, Monday's lesson, Tuesday's lesson, we're going to find a theme of the lesson and build our questions around that. We did that exercise. The aha moment, what did I mean by that? Does anyone remember?
The teacher has to have something that just clicks and goes off.
Yeah.
And going
yeah. Through the week, when I'm studying, I have to have an aha moment. There should be something that I just didn't see that before. Because if I don't have an aha moment, chances are neither will anybody in my class. And we will never exhaust the Bible. There'll never be a time we say, there's nothing else for me to learn. It won't happen. All right, let's see here. At the end of my class, there should be a takeaway, but it needs to be relevant. It's not just get up and talk. Where am I taking people to? What is the point that I'm trying to convey? All right, we talked about questions, bad questions, good questions, best questions. We read from the book on questions. We talked about showtime. Give us some energy. They're feeding off of your energy. Even if you are a reserved person, as I am, very shy, as I am, when it's Sabbath school time, I know that I have to bring the energy. Now, I'm not bouncing off walls. I'm not going crazy. But I'm at least letting people know I'm excited to be here. Right? Because I don't want them to feel like, man, this is going to be bad. He doesn't even want to be here. Okay? Emotions. Our winner, we had Henry was did a great emotion. Which one did you do, Henry?
Joy.
You did joy. What were you trying to do the first time? That was a hoot. You did a good job, though. I'll never forget that one, I think. Let's see here. Start smart. I told you what I do. What I do is not the way that it must be done. But my goal when I start Sabbath school is as soon as possible, I want people's hands in the air. I'm not trying to tell them about how my week has been and all this stuff and just building up for another 10 minutes talking about me. I need to get people's hands in the air. So I always start with, does anybody remember what kind of question I start with? Starts with a D. followed by an E, then an F, then an I. Definition. Oh, I'm glad you got it. Okay, definition question. So I'll start next week. I'm not sure the word I'll use, but let's say the lesson is on last day events, okay? And so I'll just say, for the sake of argument, let's say I want to use the word saved. Let's say, just pick saved. I'm going to start my class next week by saying, listen, I want to make sure we're all on the same page today. We're going to spend time talking about being saved. But before we get started, what does the word saved mean to you? I'm not asking anybody what the lesson said about it. I'm not asking anyone what the Bible or spirit of prophecy said. All I'm simply asking is, what does the word mean to who? How many people can answer that?
Everyone.
I just want people's hands in the air. That's all really I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to show that I'm so deep and smart and studious. I just need your hands in the air. So once I get your hands in the air, I'm getting answers. Even if I get the right answer, I'll keep going. I'll say, yes, I love that. I love that. Does anybody else? And I'm signaling, I want participation. And then we'll take it to the next level. So start smart. Guide your class with questions. One of my pet irritants is to be in a class and people raise their hand and the teacher will say, well, we need to move on. I find that rude. So when I want to move on, I'll just ask another question. And even if I see your hand, I say, oh, I see your hand, but let me just ask this question. And chances are when I come back to that person, they'll either say, oh, no, that's okay, or they'll answer the question, but we made the turn. But I don't like hearing that, well, I need to move on. Just ask a different question, all right? Do the three-step. This is the most profound thing that I've discovered to be a Sabbath school teacher. I'm telling you, it works. Somebody must email me next week and say, I did the three-step and it worked. I'm going to start Sabbath school saying, oh, okay, class, you know, what does the word save mean to you? I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to get multiple answers, and then I will say, can I get a volunteer to read whatever text? John 3:16. When we read the text, I won't start talking about something else. That is my setup for my next question. Now that we read the text, I'm going to ask my class, what does this text tell us about whatever it is we're discussing? So I'm back up here at the top. All I did was ask another question. I'm going to let multiple people answer, as many as I can. And then I will say, can I get another volunteer to read another text? I won't read the text myself. I want people engaged. And they'll read the text. I'll do the same thing. What does this text tell us about whatever it is? And if I do this four times, five times, I'm out of time.
Yeah, but what's Wednesday's
I'm telling you, if you go at a good pace, you'll catch them off guard. They won't know what happened. Don't announce that, hey, we're going to try something different. Don't do that. I should have told you that.
Thank you.
Don't do that. Just do it. Because if they'll put their guards up. And I'll give you a little secret. If you're a superintendent, I don't know if I really should share this, but I've done it, so I'm just going to be transparent about it. If you're a superintendent and you're making changes, we are naturally resistant to change, right?
Known as inertia.
Huh?
Known as inertia.
Oh, okay. So what I will do is say, let's just try this for 3 months. I know this is the way it's going to be. But by me saying, let's just try it for 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, however the big thing is, people they'll say, okay, we'll just try it then. And then if you've done your homework right, they'll like it and it's fine, all right? So just don't go in and say, we're making sweeping changes in Sabbath school this week. No more of this. Don't do that, okay? Sabbath school didn't go bad overnight. It won't turn around. I wish I could tell you that when you go back to your churches, you do these things, it'll be standing room only. It's a lot of work. You got to be willing to pay the price. You can't give up. You can't say, well, this isn't working. We've been trying it for 2 weeks and the people aren't happy. You have to tough it out, okay? Hijacked. Oh, there's a hijacker in every church at least. And sometimes And Steve, I want to tell your story.
Okay.
Can you tell your story, please? Would you mind telling it?
My name is Steve, and I'm an alcoholic. My name is Steve. I am from the Myrtle Beach Church. This gentleman here is Pete Reese, and he happens to be my head elder. So I have to be on very
yeah.
down here. But now, I am a 40-year hijack. I would actually study the lesson for me to go to Sabbath school to prove you wrong, you the instructor. And I had, and what was really bad about me being the hijacker, I was also a facilitator. So I knew what to do and how to do it. And so what would happen is I would corner that poor, you know, just everyday run-of-the-mill persons like you and I, get him in a corner, and then he had no place to go. And then he would say to me, I don't know, Steve, but Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I'd look him right square in the eye and say, well, did Jesus come? And that would really do it.
So when did you get converted, brother?
Well, I tell you what happened. One day, a hijacker came that was better than I. And I saw myself. And I wasn't pleased with what I saw. So then gradually, I start. And you, as for those who've been here all week long, who knows, I haven't said a word. I sit back here, I keep quiet, I just do my, you know, write notes. But after 40 years, I had a retired pastor come to me and say, Steve, do you really enjoy doing this? And I thought to myself, no, you're right. So after 40 years, I was converted and baptized, and that was about a year ago.
Oh, hey, man. What a testimony.
Sometimes your hijacker can last a long time as I, but
yeah.
It works in the end.
But isn't that also a testimony for the Sabbath school teachers to put up with?
It's a testimony for Christianity,
right,
for sure.
Yes.
And as I mentioned yesterday, when we talked about some of the scenarios of what to do with hijackers, what we don't want to do is give an opinion on what they're saying. Because now I've allowed myself to be hijacked. Because by all rights of conversation, they should be able to say, oh, no, this. If I say, oh, that's not what the Bible says about that, that's not what the Bible meant about that, then they can say, well, yes, it does mean that. I'm just not giving an opinion on that. We're just not talking about that today. All right, so those are the things we want to do. We went through those yesterday. It's your class. You have to land this class safely. Don't allow anybody to intimidate you. I've gone to some churches where they really need to reach out to their pastor and say, Pastor, this is what's happening in my class. Help me, all right? Sometimes you just need to get help. Because there are different churches that people will target because they find a weakness or vulnerability in the teacher that they know they can, you know, get their issues out. Okay, teach with power, we talked about that. Pray, prepare, pray some more. Open with a plan. I know my first question. I know the text I'm going to use. I know my follow-up question. I know the stories I'm going to tell. I have a plan, all right? Wear a smile. Don't take yourself so serious. Be the same person you are at the potluck after church when you're teaching Sabbath school. I know people get nervous. A lot of people hate being up front. They're your friends. They're your family and friends. You sit with these people every Sabbath. You talk in the vestibule. Just be yourself, okay? Expect success. Don't go in talking about I've had a rough week. I really didn't have a lot of time to study. I had to work two shifts. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Recognize your purpose. Your job is not to know everything. You just need to know this week and find a way to guide people through that. Let's see here. So now let's do, here's my phone number. And you'll see that again later. But feel free to call me at any reasonable time. And here's my website, and you'll find a link for some YouTube videos that I told you I have, where I go over different things, the two things that teachers must know, how to sell Jesus, things like that, how to put together your materials. I go in a lot of detail, that you'll find a link to that. And okay, so with that being said, I told you yesterday that I wanted to share some principles on how to get things done. And I told you these principles were so powerful that by adopting them is how I got my wife. That's turns out how it works. Well, let me tell you what happened. I was at a church recently. I think it was in Brooklyn recently. And I told the same thing because it's true. I'm just telling the truth. And so two single guys in the church were like really taking notes. Like, okay, I said, did you get that note? Like, he was ready. He was going to use this on one of the sisters in the church. So I do matchmaking on the side. But it's one thing to have a small group. It's another thing to get things done. It's one thing to be a Sabbath school leader. It's another thing to get things done. I don't believe that we should just try to exist, like just make it through the year or make it through the term. I believe we have to get things done. So I want to share four principles that will make a difference. These principles will make a difference. The first one is D, and it stands. All right, here's the text. I went too fast. All right, Luke 5, 3 through 6. Can you all read that? Are my fonts big enough this time? They could be better.
It could be better.
Okay, I'll try to make them better next time.
You need a size 42 for this size of prep.
42? Font? Okay. All right, here's the text. This is a fascinating text. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let's just stop there. In essence, what was Simon saying right here? What was he really telling Jesus? You don't know what you're saying. Okay. Been there, done that. What was he saying? And what else was he saying? Hopeless.
We're the experienced fishermen. You're not.
Exactly. That's true. They were experienced fishermen because that time of day, as those of us who read the background, was not the perfect time or the best time, right? What else was he saying at the core? What do you think he was saying? That's something that we say as well. And walked in our shoes?
I'm very frustrated.
I'm very frustrated? Let me suggest that I believe what Simon was saying is that we have done the best we could with everything we had, and we don't have anything to show for it. That's what I feel. If you boil it down, he was saying, we did the best we could with everything we had, and we have nothing to show for it. And many times that is how we feel about our church and, for the sake of this class, our Sabbath school, that we've tried everything we can and we have nothing to show for it. But Jesus is never, there's never a point where he says, well, that's it. I can't do any better for you. That'll never happen, right? So he says, listen, I'm just going to do it just because you said to do it. There's no reason that I should expect success, but simply because you said do it. I can't understand why you're asking me to do it, and I'm telling you, this is how we must approach what we're doing in ministry. There are things that he asks us to do that don't make a lot of sense, but we should do it. It's our task as leaders and ministry leaders to find out what his instructions are. I believe personally that we have great assistance in the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I believe that if we would take time to read some of those letters, that we would find that there might be a better way to do things that are different than what we normally do. Anyway, the end of the story is when they did what he asked them to do, it was so much that it was breaking their nets. Okay, so let's get to the principles. Can everybody see that? Is this board in the way? Can you guys see it okay? Okay. So the D stands for decision. Here's why I want to start there. Much of our lives are spent wishing and hoping. Let me give you some examples. I should, I might, I could, I like to. I always thought about writing a book. I should write a book. I might write a book. They said I'd be good at writing a book. Or I should join a marathon. I should run a marathon. In all our lives, time goes by, 5 years goes by, and we're still just wishing because we never made a decision. We never said, I am doing this. And until we make a decision, it's just going to be a wish. Now, the decision, and I think even the Bible says, choose you this day. Make up your mind. Just make a decision. Sometimes a bad decision is better than no decision. Make a decision. Now, here's for us as ministry leaders. What is it that we really want to accomplish in Sabbath school? That's where we started on our hit the mark. Are we just trying to maintain traditions, or are we trying to do something? I need to make that decision. Here's where we have an issue. I say focus on the good your decision will bring, not the obstacles you will imagine. Instantly, I don't know what it is because I really don't understand the human mind well enough, but when we think about doing something different, we instantly see how difficult it would be in our mind, right? My wife said we're going on this green smoothie diet. I think I was full at the time she told me, so it wasn't like I was hungry at the time, but instantly I was thinking about this might be a little trouble for me. Like, no more omelets? I mean, what are you saying? Well, so, and that's how it is when we talk about exercise. I instantly think about, oh, I don't know, I want to do that. But if I would think about what's going to be the result at the other end, it would help me get through. So focus on the good your decision will bring. And here's what I want you to do. When you get back to your church, this works personally too. I'll tell you, because I told you this how I got my wife. Since she's here, she's going to have to just deal with the embarrassment. I didn't make her come here today. She's just had to deal with the embarrassment. But I have made a decision. That's going to be my wife. And I'm going to just play this out, okay? So, sorry, Shelly. I just apologize up front. Don't mention bring it up later. Okay. When I get back to my church, I'm going to list with my team 5 things our ministry will do this year. I'm not going to say what we want to do. Here's some of the things that I don't want you to say. We're going to make a difference in the community. That doesn't fly. That's nothing.
Shotgun blast.
Yeah, that's not saying anything. I want you to say, with your team, these are the 5 things we are going to do this year. I know half of the year is gone, so maybe you're going to have to take your list down to 3. And we're going to talk about being accountable. If I don't write it down, it's really just talk. If I don't write it down, it's just talk. So I need to write something down. I need to put some things on a calendar and say, this is when this is going to get done. Okay, so the D stood for what? Decision. I need to make a decision. Let's move past talking about it. Let's be about it. And I'm going to list 5 things my ministry is going to do. The E stands for effort. What are you going to do? When I sit down with my ministry and with my team and say, these are the things we're deciding to do, what is our action plan? Let's write it down. Let's hold ourselves accountable. This is what we're going to do. This is the date we're going to do it. Hold yourself accountable. You'd be surprised what you can do. If you don't have any timeline or deadlines, it'll never happen. And at my church, I know, I apologize, our church is large, we have more resources, but our core team is always the same people. I mean, I can have a staff of 40 people, but it's only like 8 people that I can really count on, right? And when we've done some incredible things through our Sabbath school department, incredible things. And a lot of it is because we sat down as a team and we made a plan and held ourselves accountable. All right? Okay. A real decision, Anthony Robbins says, a real decision is measured by the fact that you've taken a new action. If there's no action, you haven't truly decided. Okay? So the D stood for what? The first E stood for what? All right, and there's another E. The next E, and this is what I want you to do. First, let me give you this. When you get with your team, this is self-explanatory, write down what you're going to do. We made the decision. How are we going to get that done? Jane, your job is to X, Y, Z. Here's the date we're going to reconvene. Terry, your job is to X, Y, Z. Here's the date we're going to reconvene. Write it down, okay? Any questions so far?
Can you give us an example of what the church is doing?
Like our church? We have, our church is probably the only church that has what's called a mobile ministry stage. We have this huge thing. It's too big for this room. It's twice the height of this room. It's a big cube that you pull behind a trailer, and it unfolds into a stage, the kind you see concerts in the park with. Well, we got that through our Sabbath school department. Let me tell you how it happened. We've done a lot of things, but this is one of the things that I'm proud of. It's called Hope on the Move. We even had it painted on the side, you know, so when we open it up. We found out that the North American Division was giving funds for investment projects. We found out the day before the deadline. Somehow the news never made it to our church that the funds were available. And so we convened our team and we had to do all this paperwork. We came up with all the information necessary through a series of conference calls, submitted it the next day. And lo and behold, sometime later, they sent us a check for $25,000 through Sabbath school. We had what's called Super Sabbath School Day at our church last year. And I'll tell you how it unfolded. We wanted to do something different for Sabbath school. Sabbath school, you know, is just kind of predictable. Let's be honest. It's predictable, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, we wanted to do something special. So as our team, we talked about, let's do a Super Sabbath School Day, sort of what we talked about in our exercise. So we went to the pastor and said, listen, pastor, for Sabbath school time, we want to do a Super Sabbath School Day. And Pastor Freddie Russell, some of you know Pastor Freddie Russell, he was here presenting. Yes, he's still our pastor. And he said, well, listen, why don't you guys take the whole day? Like, wow, he gave us the whole day. We just thought we'd get, you know, an hour and a half. So we revamped the entire day for Sabbath school. It took a lot of work. We planned for about 6 months on it, but here's what we did in a nutshell. At 9, I don't remember the times right. It was at 8:30 at 9. In the morning, we served breakfast for the entire church. People love to eat. Not a continental breakfast. No, this is Sabbath school. We're doing the best we can. So we had full breakfast for the church, and all these people came who never come to Sabbath school because they just wanted to come eat, which is sad, but it's true. So that was during the morning part. At 10:30, we had the youth of our church, like teenagers and stuff, who had musical abilities. They were featured. They had a little like mini concert for 30 minutes from 10:30 to 11. Oh, before that, as people were in the fellowship hall eating breakfast, in the auditorium they had, I think it was a Wintley Phipps DVD playing, you know, with the music and stuff like that, trying to set the atmosphere. So after at 11 o'clock, then the Sabbath school, then the 11 o'clock service began, and Sabbath school ran it. I won't tell you all the things we tweaked, but we cut out a lot of things that our church normally does and did it the way we wanted. The highlight was we did the Sabbath school lesson for 11 o'clock. That's what we did the lesson. Just like we did our little mini class here yesterday, we did that, and there were about 2,000 people there that Sabbath because the church was full because we invited in. Has anybody heard the group called the Sisters? Y'all ever heard of that group? I think they're from North Carolina. I'm going to make it. All right. Maybe I'm not singing the right tune, the right note. But anyway, they're three sisters that travel abroad. They're not Adventists, but they're wonderful sisters. We invited them in to be our musical guests that day. And we did the lesson, and so many people came up afterwards and said it was the best Sabbath they ever had because they got to talk in Sabbath school. They got to hear different ideas. They got to open their Bibles. So those are some of the things we've done. To name just a few. Did that suffice? Okay. It's still at the church.
What are you doing?
It's usually for concerts or for events. My idea, and let me just... It hasn't, we didn't use it as fully as I hoped we would, a church of our size. My vision was we'd be in a different park every week. That we haven't fully used it as much. And I'm hoping that the next superintendent who has taken my place will find more use of it. And a church also uses it for their we do a summer campaign in a very poor part of town, and so we go in there and clean all the beer bottles and stuff off and level it out, and the church brings it in and we unfold it and we hold daily services there with music and the pastor speaks. It's Hope on the Move, that's what it's called. We had a write-up in I think the Review and or Advent Review when it first came out. Okay. All right, let's talk about the next E. The E is for environment. Oh, time is flying. Before I talk about the environment of a team, how to build a team, I just want to just talk about on a personal level that I believe one of the most profound questions that you can ask yourself, that I can ask myself, is simply, who am I around? And what are they doing to me? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Who am I spending time with? And are they helping me to get where I'm trying to go? Or are they a hindrance to me? And, I'm not saying that you should disassociate yourself from your family and friends. I'm not suggesting that. But we all have influence on each other. And I need to be serious. I'm serious about it. I don't want to go through this whole motion and be lost. That makes no sense to me. So who am I around and what are they doing to me? But as far as a team, I need to build a culture of teamwork. And I want to just give you a few highlights here. They're self-explanatory. I have to lead by example. I can't ask other people to do what I'm not willing to do. I can't ask other people to be at church at 9:15 and I don't show up to 9:45 and I'm the leader. I can't ask people to do extra things to move the program forward, and I'm not willing to do anything different. And I don't know all the answers. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You can't know everything, okay? And I told you yesterday, we spent some time, or day before yesterday, I believe we should celebrate our teams. Large or small, find a way to show appreciation for the people that are a part of your team. Something. Even if it's a bookmark, bring them up on one Sabbath and say, this is all we have, but we want you to know we appreciate your efforts. Don't let a year go by without celebrating your team. That makes all the difference in the world because people are volunteers. They're not being paid. Let's show them just some simple kindness, and you have to inspire them. Stay positive. Don't be negative. You're not getting the support from the church you want. You just try to keep that to yourself if you can. Don't get your teammates all riled up about the same thing. Another way to keep positive is to communicate. There shouldn't be secrets between just the select few on your team. Be open. Communicate openly. This is where we are. These are our challenges. These are the funds we have. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. Communicate. I believe that we should do everything in excellence. This is an example that I have to work. When I took over as superintendent at my church, I told you I served as 9 years as a superintendent at Berean. And when I took over, keep it in mind, our resources, I get that. Don't think I'm not sensitive to that. But when I took over as Sabbath superintendent, that even if you could not sing, they say you could sing for Sabbath school. Because they say it's just Sabbath school. I know. I agree with you. No, we couldn't have that. I want the same excellence they have at 11 o'clock. Don't just trot somebody up here who can't sing, and then somebody jumps on the piano and tries to find a note they're in. Like, what note is that in? What is that they're in? No. And that was hard at first because they were just used to. They just liked to sing. You know, I couldn't, you know. Anyway, so we had to put a stop to that. It was painful because how do you tell people, how do you tell Brother Jones, listen, Brother Jones, you know you can't sing. How do you say that? So we got past that point, and now when we want people to sing, I know some churches don't have a lot of people to sing. Sometimes it would be better just to skip it. Let's sing as a congregation. Listen, there's nothing more powerful than just open up and singing some songs that everyone knows from the hymnal. That's really good. But do it first class. If you're going to plan something, plan it first class. Don't just throw something out. We're doing this ministry as unto the Lord. Do it first class. Okay, so the D stood for what? The first E stood for what? I must put in what? And the next one is I have to build a culture by protecting my... And I got to protect my environment. And here's the P. You can't quit. Don't confuse the beginning with the end. Don't do that. Don't quit. Just stay the course. You have a plan. Follow the plan. You'll learn. Even if you don't hit the mark, you'll learn. Be consistent. I told you, accountability for a team is crucial. We all should be held accountable. I'm not saying lord it over each other, but there should be accountability. If this is your task, this is your task. And we should see if you're not able to do your task, then we should, by God's grace, find someone. Now, I didn't tell you yesterday because I didn't need to on how to fire teachers. Did I tell you that? I didn't think I needed to tell you that. He sat up for that one. I don't know why. How to fire teachers. Patience, persistence, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. Does anybody want to know how to fire teachers? Or I just skip that. What'd you say? Make it short? I can't make it short. I better skip it. But you know you can fire teachers. I can tell you that. So that's it.
Yes,
you can. After what?
I'd rather fire them up.
You'd rather fire them up? I don't know what that meant, but that sounds serious. Oh, okay. Basically, you try to work with the teachers that you have. We shouldn't give up on our teachers too quickly, right? But if a teacher is not willing to help move the ministry forward, then it's time for that teacher to go. You should pray them out. The same seriousness you ask God for other things, you should say, listen, I tried my best. We're trying to do this. The teacher doesn't want to cooperate. I'm asking that you would please replace this teacher for me. Because in the way we do things in our church, like I'm elected every 2 years as superintendent. But if you're a teacher in my church, now I can't speak for your church, If you have that class for 30 years, no one can say anything to you. You've always had the class in the back of the room. Personally, I believe teachers should have to be voted in every 2 years, just like superintendents. And I've done this. I've had to pray people out. And when they come to me and say, listen, Brother Superintendent, I really don't think I'm going to teach right now. I'll say, no, are you serious? I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, so that's it. Don't confuse the beginning with the end. Don't confuse the beginning with the end. Don't confuse where you are now in the process with the end. Make it through. All right, what questions do you have for me on our last time together? Oh, yes.
Another question.
Yes.
We have a small church.
Yes.
Not a whole lot of people want it. You don't have to fire a teacher. There aren't enough to fire. So my thought when I joined the church was that you're a teacher, and if you're good at it, eventually you inspire someone else to want to be a teacher.
Yes.
But after 5 years, I can't even get a substitute. So does that make me a bad teacher?
No, no. No, maybe a lot of people are intimidated by how well you do it. They don't think they can follow your example.
Well, I had one person, and it was almost enough to make me quit. They said, the reason, I even asked, why do you come to this class? He said, well, it's entertaining.
Well, entertaining might be positive. Were you going to answer his question?
No. I moved to the Myrtle Beach Church. We had a lifetime teacher. An illness happened, and I didn't pray about that.
Okay, good.
But he asked me to teach. And I taught nonstop for, 6 months. And finally, I just went by and says, you're teaching.
Really?
We have four teachers that alternate all four different styles.
Yes.
None of us teach alike.
Yes.
And we have a great time at it. We have one or two that like the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to ask how many of you studied. That's great. Over 50% of you did. I have three main points I'd like to start with.
Okay. So I guess the takeaway from that is ask someone.
Ask someone.
Like he said ask. He said you teach.
Yeah, that's true. That wasn't an ask. That was a tail.
That's why he's a head elder.
Yeah,
that
was a tail.
I am a salesman by trade.
Okay. Okay, so there you go. Y'all need to talk.
Jesus says, follow me.
Yeah. Which color would you like it in?
Yeah.
He didn't say, will you follow me?
There's some people who are hesitant to teach because they feel in the back of their mind, as soon as I stand up to teach, someone's going to ask me about the seven seals and the seven thunders. That's really what they're thinking. There's something, they're going to ask me something I don't really understand, and I don't want to embarrass myself. And
that's an absolutely fantastic question. Can we get to that after class?
Yes. We have to teach teachers to do that. And listen, we need more training. I'm just being honest. Our churches, I've gone to some churches where I say, how many have training in the last 5 years? No one puts their hands up. Last 10 years, no one puts their hand up. Now, some of the onus is on us because I should be invested in my own personal growth. So I'm not giving myself an excuse. However, as church leaders, we need to do all we can to give our people training. That a lot of people are only doing, they're doing the best they can. This is all they've ever seen. All they've ever seen was somebody get up and read Sunday's lesson and lecture. That's all they've ever seen. So how can I say, hey, you're doing it wrong with they never had any training? So we need to do what we can to train people. And that's what I talk to pastors and Sabbath School Department ministry leaders about. Our people need training, not just Sabbath School. That's my personal ministry. But our people need training. Jesus spent 3 years training his disciples. Training. Yes.
But is your website
website give them a picture of what a different style of teaching might look
yes.
like?
Yes, yes. You'll find a link where I'm teaching Sabbath school for a camp meeting session. And there's like three videos. One video shows how I prepared. The next video shows, I think, my outline. The third video is the actual Sabbath school session for the South Atlantic Conference. So you'll see that I started just the way I told in here. So it shows that. If I'm to be considered an example of successful teaching, it shows that. But we'd have to step out of our comfort zone. Okay, what other questions do you have for me before we close out? No. No.
Sometimes we think we have to teach in somebody else's samples.
That's true. Be yourself. I'm telling you. Be yourself. However, I think we should follow these principles. Right. Lead your class by questions. Take them on a journey. Right. And when you boil it all down, it is a Bible study. That's what it is. Yes.
Right. We agree that our children's divisions need to be as good as they can be.
Yes.
Do you have any direction to point us into where that kind of training or instruction?
Oh, yes. I have some friends of mine that do training, but for the Florida conference. It's five ladies that go for the conference to events, and I do the adult, they do the children. They're incredible. I'll give you their contact information because they cover all the age groups. To me, that is the most challenging part of Sabbath school, is whoever handles the children classes.
They need to be acknowledged for us.
Oh, yeah. They not only to be acknowledged, they need training. They need people to say, well, here's some good ways to do these different crafts or cornerstone, whatever it is, because it is daunting to try to figure out something on your own. And the information overload, you can go on the internet and you'll be overwhelmed by how much stuff. So it's always helpful that somebody can come in and kind of hold your hand through the process. And Francine Long and her team do a wonderful job. If you email me, I'll put you in touch with them, and we definitely can arrange some help. And I'm sure you guys probably have a children's ministry leader in this conference, and it's worth reaching out to say, is there going to be any training in my area this year? We need training. What other questions do you have before we close out? I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. I'll just say it's a good sign. But listen, I've appreciated everyone's input. You guys didn't have to come all week. You came all week. I appreciate the support. We had a good time together. And all your input was valuable. And if there's anything I can do, please let me know. And with that being said, I'm going to ask the pastor to come out of his cubicle and close us out in prayer.